Greg and Mary Reynolds, the Organic Farmers of the Year. And I guess first off, Greg, tell us a bit about the farm, where it's at, how many acres, and what do you grow?
Our farm is about 30 miles west of Minneapolis. We've been there for about 20 years. We've been certified organic since 1994. We grow about 10 acres of organic vegetables every year, and then a few acres of cover crop seeds, you know, oats and peas and rye, vetch, things like that.
You talked a bit about you got into the school system. Talk a bit about how that evolved.
Well, it was through a meeting set up by Renewing the Countryside. They had a farmer chef meetings, and they had said one of the schools would be there and wanted to know if I would be willing and interested to talk to them about that, about making some sort of a connection with the schools, because they were, the Hopkins schools in particular, were really interested in getting away from processed food, getting away from the junk food diet for school kids. And we hit it off, and they've been, you know, one of our best customers for the past three, four years.
How much do you sell to them? What do you sell to them?
We sell, well, thousands of pounds of tomatoes, at least half a ton of cucumbers, and, again, thousands of pounds of potatoes. And then smaller things, winter squash, carrots, radishes, some kale. The individual schools have a cook supervisor, and they can decide what vegetable they're going to use on their menu that week. And so they will use winter squash, kale, you name it, just to introduce the kids to it and give them a variety of things to eat.
And this is kind of a working partnership, as I understand it. They tell you what they'd like. You tell them what you've got.
Yep, exactly. That they have a menu cycle that they'll set it up for an entire semester, and we'll have a potato bar three times during the semester, and it'll be every 3 or 4 weeks. And they say, we're going to need 1,200 pounds of potatoes three times between now and November, and we'll provide them. And the other part is that they're like a restaurant account for us, that I send them a list of what we've got available twice a week, and they order whatever strikes their fancy, really. And it fits. Some of it fits into their menu. Some of it, like I said, is the vegetable of the week, and they use that in their kitchen, in their school lunch program.
You sell to restaurants then also?
Yeah, actually most of our business is independent local restaurants in Minneapolis and St. Paul.
How do you get into a restaurant?
Now it's word of mouth that people who worked at a restaurant will open their own restaurant, they'll go work someplace else, and they'll call up and say, hey, I'm here now, send me your list. And so our business grows kind of from the inside out. In the way.
It feeds upon itself.
It does. And it's much easier than making cold calls.
Mary, talk about the process of getting from when you first started in organic gardening to this point.
Well, it was quite an amazing process, actually, and very organic. Greg always was gardening, and we lived in Connecticut for a while where things grew without much effort. We lived at an old farmstead where there were a lot of wild, untended things like wild roses, and I started excavating and just became passionate about gardening at that point. And then we moved back to Minnesota, and Greg was ready for a job change, and I was flexible about where we lived, so we ended up buying a farm, turning it from conventional to organic over a 4-year period, and then Greg quit his conventional job, I should say, and became a full-time farmer. It was a very steep, steep learning curve, but it's been absolutely wonderful.
So advice to 25-year-olds that would like to follow in your footsteps?
Ooh, do times have changed. I feel we were just, like a lot of people, in the right place at the right time, and it worked for us the way we did it. And I think everyone's journey will be a little different. So I wouldn't have any specific advice.
Do you find, Greg, more interest now in the food, know your food, know your farmer, playing into your hand?
Yes. We have, the problem we have and is that there's much more demand than we can meet. That we, you know, we produce as much as we can, and there's always more demand. We're always shorting somebody at some point in the season where there's not enough cucumbers or zucchini, and it's a great problem to have, but I'd still like to be able to make all those sales.
You hate to turn them down. Your advice to the 25-year-old?
That, you know, there are some great training programs, and you know, I'm more familiar with the Minnesota ones, and Land Stewardship Project has a Farm Beginnings program, and so they're teaching people how to plan, how to set up a business plan, how to work through their strengths, their weaknesses, their opportunities, and do some scenarios. They teach them about business, you know, how to run a spreadsheet, and that's really important. That didn't exist when we started, so it was all kind of seat of the pants. And this is a much more organized, much more. They get a lot of advantages from that. And I'm guessing Wisconsin, Iowa, they all have similar programs, but. It's a great way to start, especially if people haven't grown up on a farm, which is pretty rare now. It's a really good introduction.
So where to from here for your operation?
Oh, actually, we're starting to grow more seeds, locally adapted seeds. So we have tomato varieties that we're working on that will produce in a cool, wet spring. The same with some green beans and dry beans. Peppers, eggplant, they all benefit from, and grains too for that matter, but they all benefit from being grown in the place where they're going to be grown. That the seeds that do the best, the plants that do the best, produce the most seed. And especially you see that in a grain crop or bean crop. So you grow them, you take that seed that was the most, you know, from the plants that were the most productive, and you turn around and you plant that again. So you've got an inherent advantage. They were well-adapted seeds. They do well. They're able to deal with cool, wet soils. They're able to deal with hot, dry summers.
How many generations does it take to get where you want to go?
Well, as little as one. We've planted radishes, winter storage radishes, and grew the seed in this. If you plant those radishes, it's a fall crop. If you plant it in the spring, it goes to seed right away. But as the days start to get shorter when you plant it, then they grow a big root and they try to overwinter. That's what they think they're going to do. And so we planted two rows of the purchased seed, one row of the saved seed, and we only harvested the row of saved seed because the purchased seed, the tops were shot. They were all yellow and spotty. The saved seed, it looked like they were, you know, new growth, was bright green. They were ready to, you know, they were happy to be there. And the reason we actually harvest them, though, regardless of the tops, is that the roots were much bigger. The smallest roots in the saved seed were as big or bigger than the largest in the purchased seed. And it's just that thing, that the ones that were best adapted to our farm produce the most seed, we plant that seed, well, then there they are.
Survival of the fittest.
More or less, yeah.
Same thing with disease resistant, pest resistant?
That's a matter of selection. So if you have tomatoes, you know, we plant thousands of tomatoes. So we'll see particular plants that are much more resistant to early blight and septoria leaf spot. And those are the ones where we'll take that fruit for our seed stock. And we have so many that we don't actually have to take every one. We can take, you know, if a tomato is, say it cracks easily, that's not a saleable tomato. So we take the ones that have the best fruit, best disease resistance, and in a couple of years, it's obvious which are saved seeds and which are purchased seeds in our tomato field. Last year was a terrible year for disease, and the purchased seed showed a lot of disease, and even some of our heirlooms held up really well. And heirlooms are particularly fragile; they don't seem to have a lot of resistance. But they were green until the end of the season.